Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football, men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles. Pleased to be joined again this week by Gary Dolphin. Just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz. He's down here at Carlos O'Kelly's in Iowa City. Gary, it's good to be with you.
Hopefully there's a lot of Hawkeye drives this weekend that they can follow on HawkeyeDrive.com, Brendan. It was not a fun night in Tucson. You were there. You watched it last week. But, you know, I tend to look for the silver lining in the cloud, and I love the way this team came back. I think that's a credit to the seniors. I love the way Ricky Stanzi hung in there. Yeah, they suffered some debilitating injuries, but if we've come to learn anything about Iowa football the last few years is that depth usually is pretty good. And so now we'll see. Break the rock, next man in, whatever you want to call it, it's time to go. This is the quarter pole in the horse race this weekend, 4 out of 12 games in, and it's a great opportunity to put a good tune-up performance for Penn State coming in next week in conference play. I always love the last game before Big Ten play starts because I learn a lot out of that game. But it's good to be with you.
All right. We'll get right to it here with last weekend's game in Arizona. Now that everyone's kind of had a few days to just kind of sit back and think about it, what did you ultimately take away from watching that performance from Iowa?
Lots of work to do on special teams. And it just didn't all of a sudden happen Saturday night. Yeah. As you know, there were some breakdowns against Eastern Illinois and Iowa State.
That was something we were actually talking about last week.
Absolutely. And so it just revved up and burnt them, not once but twice last week. Now you throw in the 85-yard pick and run back the other way through no fault of Rick Stanzi's. And the big picture is Iowa gave up 21 points without the defense being on the field. And I include the block punt because you can't expect the 85 Bear defense to stop that momentum swing right out of the gate. You get a punt block, first and goal on the 7-yard line. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop that downhill snowball. And when you give up 21 points on the road with the best piece of your game not on the field, it's difficult to win. And Arizona's a good team. I mean, they took advantage of the breaks. They practiced for those turnovers. That said, I'm really encouraged the way the guys fought back, got it tied, and had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. And that's all you can ask for on the road. So nobody likes to lose. It's one loss. It's one game out of 12. And if they learn from it and move on, which I think they will, they'll be fine.
Now, one thing I did want to ask you about with regard to Jewel Hampton now being out for the season is we're going to be looking at Adam Robinson being the Hawkeyes' primary back. And one thing that always kind of stood out to me over the years with Coach Ferentz is just it always seems like the team usually has two backs that they depend on. You know, you can go back to when they had Fred Russell and Jermell Lewis. You had Albert Young, Damian Sims, even just last year with Robinson and Wager. So my question to you is just how confident do you feel the team can be with Robinson being that every down back as opposed to a guy that's alternating carries like he was a year ago?
Very confident. What you just said was every team's dream to have two competent backs for the long haul. But you mentioned Freddie Russell. I remember the year when they really had nothing behind Freddie Russell. It was one of his, might have been his sophomore year.
Yeah.
It's 2003, I can't remember which year, when he basically was it. Jermell Lewis was an unproven at that point.
That's true. I should clarify.
Yeah. And then, of course, the infamous 2005 season when Sam Brownlee, they were down to, what was Sam, fifth on the pecking
Sam
order?
Was like fourth or fifth, yeah.
Yeah, and they really had nobody after him because everybody else was beat up, knee injuries, ankle sprains, what have you. Albert Young got hurt early. Marcus Schnorr blew his knee out. So it's a situation you don't want to be in, but it's a situation that you can survive. And so to answer your question, Brandon, two things. I look at you know, Marcus Coker, true freshman. He's going to be the backup. But yet I just have a sneaky suspicion after watching Brad Rogers all last spring get the snaps at tailback that if they have to go to the backup on Saturday or get somebody else in there, you'll see Brad Rogers and then Marcus Coker. So I think those will be the two guys. Brad Rogers is a guy they really like. Marcus Coker is a heralded recruit. They'd probably like to keep the red shirt on him, but they may not have that luxury. Here's my deal. You got one of your better defenses that you've had in years. You got a chance to make hay. So if you have to pull a red shirt off a freshman, that's fine with me. The other component here, you went into the season knowing that, and it's a rarity for Iowa, the passing game is the strength of your offense. So to me, all last week proves is they rely more on the passing game and the tight ends. We saw with DJK and Marvin McNutt, although he had a couple drops, made the great catch in the end zone. I think you'll see Rick and the Hawks go more to the passing game and rely on it until they get some running backs comfortable back there.
This week, when Iowa takes on Ball State, they're going to be wearing throwback uniforms to commemorate the 1958 Rose Bowl team. Just what do you think of the gesture in general and the fact that the team is, you know, kind of taking a break, if you will, from wearing the traditional black and gold that everyone's accustomed to seeing on Saturdays?
I think that's so Iowa, because we're all about tradition. First off, there aren't many schools that have great football tradition. Iowa is one of the few. That 1960 team was kind of at the tail end of that national championship era of 1958. Iowa was only national championship team. But and that's, ironically, for me anyway, when I first really started to dial in on Iowa football. I was 7, 8, 9 years old then. I knew who Don Norton and Randy Duncan and Bob Jeter were. In 1960, Wilburn Hollis was a phenomenal quarterback. Larry Ferguson was a bruising great running back. They had some phenomenal. Bernie Wyatt, Big Ten team MVP. It was a great era of Iowa football. Was it, at the tail end of the Forrest Evashevsky coaching reign, which people are kind of split down the middle. Evie, should he have gotten out or should he not have gotten out for a variety of reasons? But to think he retired that next year at 42 years old, and what he could have done at Iowa had he stayed, turned the reins over to Jerry Burns. It was a tremendous era of Iowa football. And to honor him, it's hard to believe it's been 50 years, first off. But to honor this 1960 team that way, I think it's very fitting. I love the old gold, pretty much solid base helmets, other than the number on them. It's just a great era for Iowa football, and so my hat's off to the university for so honoring them.
You were touching on just before we started this, you were talking about how fans had some interesting comments regarding just the situation that was going up on at Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio and the recent heart attack he had after the Spartans were able to beat Notre Dame. Just, I guess if you could just share a little bit of that and just what you kind of took away from hearing Coach discuss that.
Well, it's typical Kirk Ferentz. Coaching is a high-stress job. There's no question about that. Every game's on TV. There's millions upon millions of dollars of revenue resting on every win and support for the program. And so on the surface, you would think this is one of the more stressful jobs in America. Even though they're compensated, coaches are paid well. Kirk's response was, look, my job is no more stressful than the guy that's unemployed with 5 kids and all those mouths to feed. And that's so typical Kirk Ferentz. They all try to work out. We all try to stay in decent shape, whether it's walking or treadmilling or lifting weights or what have you. But his point was, look, let's not make more of this than it is. We all wish Coach D'Antonio the best. We all hope that Norm Parker's out of the hospital tomorrow. Everybody has stress in their daily lives, particularly in this economy, and as much as we're all pulling for Mark D'Antonio, he feels that coaching isn't any more stressful than the guy that's struggling to make ends meet every day, and that's so typical of Kirk, and I applaud him.
All right, now we'll finally, I guess, if you talk about the actual game on Saturday here, Ball State comes in 1-2. I don't think many people expect them to come out of Kinnick Stadium with a win, so I'll just ask you here, what do you feel the Hawkeyes need to be able to do on Saturday that maybe wasn't there last week against Arizona in order to, I guess, not allow Ball State to stay in the game?
Well, imagine what my first comment will be. Improved kick coverage, number one. Special teams in general. And I've talked a lot to people about how I like the way the schedule lays out. You know, I thought they could go to Arizona and win that game last week. They didn't. But that said, whether they won or lost, there'd be some things to improve on prior to the Big Ten season starting next week with Penn State. Well, here comes Ball State. Yeah, a game clearly Iowa should win. But this is also a team that gave Purdue a 24-13 game last week. They're very young at quarterback. They've got a good defense, a couple good defensive linemen, good linebackers, but it's a game Iowa tries to reset, reestablish its running prowess. Yes, Adam Robinson, we know what he can do, but hopefully the Hawks get this thing under control in the first half to where they can insert a Brad Rogers or a Marcus Coker or whatever, whoever's in the mixture at running back. I think they'll continue to open up that passing game. DJ K comes off a 7-catch game last week. Marvin McNutt on balance had a terrific game. I think we get the tight ends more involved. I think this is a game where Iowa wants to really mix it up on offense and maybe give Penn State a lot to think about coming in next week. The defense is fine. You don't change anything defensively. I mean, they gave up a legitimate touchdown drive and two field goals last week. Normally, that's good enough to win on the road.
You can listen to Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak call the Hawkeyes game against Ball State Saturday morning. It is an 11 a.m. kickoff from Kinnick Stadium. Gary, thank you very much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Brendan.